We're a family-run business. We're based in Chilton, Wisconsin, and we design and build anaerobic digesters, mostly for farms. We've built them primarily for dairy, but we have one running on swine waste in North Carolina. We've got a poultry farm. We've got a site in Indiana that's running about 20% manure from cattle and swine, and then the rest is outside waste streams like pharmaceutical waste and biodiesel waste and fats, oils, and greases and all different kinds of organic waste streams. So we started in dairy, and it's certainly very useful for animal manures, but anything that theoretically, you know, a human or a cow could eat could go into a digester.
Talk about the evolution of the technology. I mean, this has changed dramatically in the, 15 years it's been around.
You know, I don't even know when the first one was built because they have been, you know, probably the Romans used them. I mean, there are people that say there are 5 million small, really small little anaerobic digesters in China, for example, out in the villages, and they may have a handful of animals, and they take the small amount of biogas from that, and a woman may cook on a stove using that biogas. So, I mean, the technology, the rudimentary form of the technology has been around for ages and ages. In the 70s, early 80s, when we had our first energy crisis, there was a push for digesters then. Most of those failed, unfortunately. The technology wasn't quite evolved enough, and probably in all fairness, the markets weren't ready for them. You know, they probably didn't get good enough rates for electricity they were producing, etc. And then we started seeing a big push for them in the late 90s, early 2000s, when we saw more and more farmers were concerned about odor management and complaints they were getting from their neighbors, and also nutrient management, of course, too, runoff issues. So my father, Steve Dvorak, actually helped put a digester in at Packerland Packing in Green Bay back in 1985. It was the first digester in the state. And that's still running today. They're putting their waste through it, and they don't have an engine there. They have a boiler because packing plant, of course, can use a lot of steam. So that's what they're doing with their renewable energy. But that was his first foray into digesters. And then in the late 90s, again, he had more and more customers, this farm implement customers, coming to him and saying, this odor is a big deal. I believe it was 99 when the state passed a law that odor could now be a nuisance, right? That law, that's when we saw some things shift. So he thought about what he had learned from the European system that he helped install, what he liked about that design, what he didn't like about that design, and spent a couple years doing a lot of R&D and research, and he came up with our patented anaerobic digester system.
Now, talk about the system. You have one here at the farm. Actually, you have two at the farm, the old farm and the new farm. But mainly in the ground, hard top.
Yes, they're made out of concrete. So what we're really trying to do is recreate the cow stomach. That's what we say. We're building a cow stomach. So if you think about it, the animal takes in the feed and it's in the stomach for, what, maybe 3/4 of a day before it leaves as manure. So there's a lot of energy in that manure that the animal wasn't able to harness. So what we do is we take that manure and we put it into our concrete cow stomach, and we hold that waste for 22 days. And it's anaerobic, no oxygen, just like the cow. The cow's stomach is anaerobic. So it's anaerobic bacteria that we're working really hard to grow. And those bacteria will break down the long chains of carbons. So they'll break down the fats and the proteins and the starches, break them into smaller chains, and they release energy when they do that. And that energy ultimately is in the form of biogas. And our biogas is usually around 60% methane and 40% CO2. And we'll capture that biogas, and oftentimes we're sending it to an engine, which is what we're doing here at both of Stotz's sites, as they're powering engines. So those engines are designed to run on our dirty gas with that 40% CO2. And the biogas engines will burn the methane, and that's when they're destroying the odor, because the odor is really in the methane. So they're destroying the odor, and then the engines power a generator, which produces renewable electricity.
And the farm's actually generating more electricity than what it uses.
Yes, most of our sites, depending on the time of year, you know, in the summer, if they're running fans and sprinklers, what have you, but generally it's 2 to 4 times the power that the farm needs. That's what they're producing at their sites.
From the manure management standpoint as well, as you mentioned, the odor is a big issue here. You're close to Sun Prairie, you're close to the Madison area. Odor and nutrient management, both big factors.
Absolutely. Yeah, we do a 97% volatile fatty acid destruction, which if you're linked to the EPA, you're going to think that is about 97% odor destruction. That's one of the metrics that the government uses to measure how much odor we're destroying. So we're doing about 97% odor destruction. So like I said, the odor is being destroyed when we burn that methane. And when the waste leaves after 22 days after it's been digested, we send it to a separator. And the separator will separate out the solids and the liquid, obviously. And the liquid will go to the lagoon. And one of the benefits, another benefit of the digester, is that the bacteria will convert the nutrients from an organic to an inorganic form. So, you know, the mineralization process that occurs in the soil when raw manure is spread, you know, and the waste is eventually changed into inorganic. And once it's inorganic, then the plant can utilize those nutrients. Well, that process is sped up in the digester. And so our waste is coming out inorganic in nature. So now you've got a liquid inorganic fertilizer in that lagoon, and it can go right onto growing crop, it can go right onto corn, alfalfa. So our farmers can play Mother Nature. So if it's the middle of July and 98 degrees and we haven't had rain in 3 weeks, you know, they can say, oh, I'm going to go spread some digested liquid. And ultimately what they're doing is spreading 98% water, 2% starter fertilizer.
And the fertilizer readily available.
Readily available. Plants utilize it right away. Much less chance of runoff, obviously, because it's going on a growing crop. And no odor when you spread. And we're also doing a great job of BOD and COD destruction. So God forbid if any got into a stream, you're not going to kill the fish. We do a great job of pathogen kill. We have a lot of data to show we do a 99% kill of E. coli, for example. Staph and strep were in the 90s. So God forbid if it got into a well, you know, nobody's going to get sick. So those environmental benefits and societal benefits really are almost as just as important as the renewable electricity.
One of the big questions has always been, how many dairy cows do you need to justify the expense of installing a digester?
That is such a hard question to answer, but I get it all the time, obviously. You know, we're looking to some of the smaller farms right now, trying to find ways to make it a little bit more affordable for the smaller guys. So we're looking at basically taking like shipping containers and trying to put a lot of the components in there, put the engine in there, our control panel, etc. So we do a lot of the work at our facility in Chilton, and you can ship it there to cut down on costs. If they're producing, you know, most of our customers will use their solids for bedding. So the solids off that separator I was talking about. So, you know, if they're replacing their sawdust that they were purchasing or sand, what have you, you know, that cost savings goes to helping pay for the digester. And a lot of our sites are starting to look at producing their own power because, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, we're not getting paid very much for the renewable energy that these operations are providing. So we're starting to look more and more at taking the farm off the grid. You know, so instead of settling for 3 to 4 cents a kW, if you will, if they were to sell their power directly, you know, if they can replace what they purchase, now you're competing against a retail rate.
Do you have any farmers who are using sand bedding in conjunction with the digesters?
We do have some farmers using sand and using it well. We always say the onus is on the farmer to get the sand out. We're not sand separation experts. But if they can get, you know, by far the majority of the sand out, we have shown that we can handle the fine sand particles inside the digester.
If people would like more information on DVO digesters,
Please give us a call at 920-849-9797 or visit our website at dvoinc.com.